ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى، وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى، وأن سعيه سوف يرى، ثم يجزاه الجزاء الأوفى، وأن إلى ربك المنتهى. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. There's an ongoing debate for perhaps many centuries between scholars and philosophers, between theologians, regarding the essence of the human being. The essence of the human, whether human beings inherently are good or evil. Are humans essentially and inherently good? Or are humans by nature evil? And related to this debate is also the discussion as to whether it is possible for humans to change themselves from bad to good or from good to bad. We find that there are two main camps. There are some who have suggested that humans are inherently bad. They're inherently evil. And they give the example of a child, for instance. They say that when a child gets to an age where he or she begins to understand a little bit, when he or she begins to, for instance, understand that he or she has certain possessions, toys, you know, other belongings that belong to him or her, we find that the child, as soon as he or she has this understanding, begins to exhibit very selfish behavior, doesn't want to share. If another child comes and tries to take this child's possessions, their toys, they are very possessive, they're selfish, they don't want to share. And this is why we find that many parents, they end up teaching their children what? That sharing is caring. We teach our children from a young age that it's good to share. Why? Because this child begins to exhibit selfish behavior. This is the example given by those who suggest that human beings, by their very nature, they're bad. They turn towards that which is immoral, that which is wrong. And we find even among some religious denominations and groups, for instance, those who believe in the concept of original sin. Original sin basically tells us what? That human nature is what is corrupted. That human nature is corrupted, and as a result, they believe in the idea that a figure died for their sins, for humans to be what? To be saved. Because human nature is corrupt, inherently, essentially. Right? And so human beings, they are in a path or a journey of inevitable doom, unless they are saved. And so those who propose this idea or take up this idea, they suggest that he or she whose essence is filthy, whose essence is corrupted, is bound to advance towards evil also. They have no choice. If their essence is wrong, if their essence is corrupted, then they will live corrupted lives. And if they change, if they do good, this goodness or this change is only temporary. It's only superficial. It's not essential. In other words, they suggest that our morals are affected by external circumstances, external influences. And once these elements, these external influences, they diminish, then our morals also diminish. Like what? Like if we take the example of water. If you boil water, or if you put the water in the refrigerator or in the freezer, it becomes what? It changes. It becomes cold, it becomes frozen, or it begins to boil, it becomes very hot. But if you take this water and then you place it on the table, on the kitchen counter, and you leave it for a few hours, what happens? What happens to it? It returns back to room temperature. It was boiling at once, but then it goes back to room temperature. It was frozen at once, but then it returns to room temperature. So this change, they say, is superficial, it's temporary. Once we remove the external elements that affect our morals and push us to do good, once we remove them, then we go back to our nature or essence, which is corrupted. This is some of the arguments, these are some of the arguments that are made for those who essentially suggest that human beings inherently are corrupted. On the other hand, there are those who have argued that no, human beings are in fact inherently good. Humans are inherently good, and they have been given the choice. They choose whether to choose bad or to choose further good in their lives. It's up to them. And we find, for instance, the Quran, it supports this idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Shams, Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And by the soul and he who has created the soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And this creator has inspired in this soul, inspired the ability to differentiate between good and evil. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful is the one who is able to purify him or herself. And the loser is the one who is not able to purify him or herself. So the Quran tells us that what? That by nature, human beings, they're good. They have the potential either to choose good or to choose bad. It's up to them. But by their nature, they are good. And they have the potential to choose good or bad. And some of our scholars and theologians, they've argued further. They've said that if human beings did not have the capacity to choose between good or bad, if they did not have this potential, then this entire creation and the sending of books and revelations and prophets and messengers, all of this would be what? It would be useless. It would be absolutely useless. So the Quran tells us that the prophets and the messengers, they came with their revelations in order to teach people, to guide people, and to instruct them so that they can purify themselves, they can make themselves better, they can improve themselves. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, we recite, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. God, He sent amongst them, amongst the people, a messenger from them, رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He recites the verses of the revelation upon them. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And He purifies them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And He teaches them the book and guidance. And in this verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that that to cleanse oneself, to purify oneself, purification precedes instruction. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. That the objective is that human beings are to purify themselves, to improve themselves. And so without the capacity to improve ourselves, this would be absolutely useless. There would be no point in God sending the prophets and the messengers with revelations and encouraging us to do good if we did not have the capacity to do good. And this is why when we come to our traditions, we find that Islam, our teachings in the Islamic traditions, they emphasize and they encourage us to constantly improve ourselves. To always work on improving ourselves, on bettering ourselves. And this is something that is ongoing. We are encouraged to work to improve ourselves constantly, every single day, every hour of our day. We are encouraged by the tradition. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says in the hadith, he says, "Imliku anfusakum bidawami jihadiha." Gain possession and control of yourselves by what? Bidawami jihadiha, by struggling, exerting effort and struggle constantly in an ongoing fashion, always. Constantly working to improve yourself. It's not a one-time thing. You know, sometimes there are some things in life, they happen once and they make a huge change in your life. If you go and you win the lottery and you become a multi-millionaire, right? If you win $500 million, that $500 million does what? It sets you for life. You don't have to do anything anymore. You don't have to work, you don't have to do anything. If you spend this money, from now until the time that you leave, you're set. One thing changes your life, right? When it comes to improving ourselves, it's a constant struggle. It's a daily struggle. We have to constantly work to improve ourselves. And this is why our traditions, they emphasize. And they tell us that we have been given a great capacity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to constantly improve ourselves. I read a story once about a man who went to the zoo, he visited the zoo. And as he's walking in the zoo, he's looking at the different animals, he passed by the elephants, right? These beautiful animals, this beautiful creation of Allah. So as he stood there from far, he's looking at these humongous animals, these elephants, these huge elephants. He's looking at them and he notices that one of the biggest elephants, he's standing and there is a small rope that is tied to his front leg. Small rope tied to his leg and tied to a pole. Very small, thin rope. So he thought to himself, he said, you know, this elephant is standing there and it's secured, it's being held by a small rope and it's not even moving. It's not moving. And it could easily break away from this rope. Just one tug, this giant animal, just one tug and it will snap this rope. So he looked around, he saw that the zookeeper was close by. And he went and he asked him. He said, I was looking at the animals, at the elephant, and I noticed that the elephant is only secured with a small rope. And this elephant is not moving. It's not trying to get away, and it could easily get away. It doesn't have any cages around it. It doesn't have anything else, just this one small rope that's tying it. So can you tell me what's going on here? The zookeeper, he told him, he said, this animal, we had this animal when it was a newborn baby. And since it was very, very small, we used this small rope, we would tie it around its leg, and we would keep it so that it would keep it secure. And when it was a small animal, it would pull its leg, it would see that it's secured, it could not move. It tried this once, twice, three times, and it saw that it could not move. So it stopped struggling. It began to grow and grow and grow until it became this large animal. And this animal still thinks that this rope will what? Will keep it secure, that it cannot pull away from this rope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a magnificent capacity and power. But unfortunately, sometimes we limit ourselves. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that we are limited, that we have certain incapacities, that we are incapable of becoming better, incapable of improving ourselves. We try to convince ourselves of this. And we find this in various aspects of our lives. Sometimes in our relationships. Some people, they're having bad relationships. A husband, a wife, parents with their children, siblings, right? They have bad relationship with one another. And there are certain things that they can do in order to improve their relationship. But one of the biggest impediments is what? Is that they try to convince themselves that they cannot become better. They try to convince themselves that I will never be a good husband. I will never be a good wife. I will never be a good son or daughter. I will never be a good parent. I will never find a better situation for myself. Many times, you know, I was reading a report once about domestic abuse, which is a huge problem. Domestic violence and domestic abuse is a huge problem. And many, it's a taboo topic. Many communities, they try to brush it aside under the rug. We don't want to talk about these things, but it's a problem in many families, in many households. I was reading a report once about domestic violence, and they said that sometimes the victim of domestic violence, which in the vast majority of cases is the woman, not always, but in the vast majority of the cases, that one of the problems is that she is not ready to get out of this terrible relationship. Why? Because she begins to justify, subhanAllah. She begins to justify the acts of the aggressor. Her husband is beating her, he is hurting her. She begins to justify, she says, maybe I deserve it. Maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe I'm not a good wife. So she begins to justify. Or she says that if I get out of this relationship, I'm not going to find someone who's better. Who's going to want me? I'm at this age, I might have children, I might this, I might that. Who's going to want me? There is nothing better out there for me. So we begin to convince ourselves of certain incapacities. We convince ourselves that we cannot find improvements. And this is a problem. We see this when it comes to relationships sometimes. We see this when it comes to our health. When it's important for us to maintain good health. Some people, they make excuses, right? They need to lose some weight. They need to improve their lives, their health. They need to become fit or improve their health lives. And what do they end up doing? They convince themselves that they can't do it. I can't. I can't lose this weight. I can't eat healthy. I can't live a healthier lifestyle. We convince ourselves that we cannot improve. And the same goes with education. Some people, they convince themselves, I can't learn. I cannot memorize this, I cannot learn this, I can't become a doctor, I can't become a scholar, I can't do this, I can't do that. We tell this to our children sometimes, many parents, we tell our children this. We say, you know what, now that you're young, make sure that you take advantage of school, make sure that you memorize the Quran, make sure that you study, because when you grow older, you're not going to be able to memorize and learn. We convince ourselves. But yes, it's true, there are certain limits and capacities, but it's not like that. Why do we convince ourselves that if we grow older, we will not be able to memorize the Quran? Why do we convince ourselves if we are older, that we cannot do certain things? Yes, there are limits, but we cannot convince ourselves of certain incapacities. It's important for us to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a great capacity to improve ourselves. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in a beautiful piece of poetry that is attributed to him, in the poetry, he says, وَتَحْسَبُ أَنَّكَ جُرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَ انْطَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. You man, you consider yourself to be a tiny entity, a small speck, insignificant. When in fact, within you is the entire cosmos. very beautiful, very profound words by Imam Ali alayhi salam, reminding us that yes, of course, it's important for us to be realistic, to know that there are certain limits, that we have capacities, of course, not to be arrogant and think that we are limitless, but also not to try to convince ourselves that we are not able to improve. We have to work. We have to work hard. We have to constantly try to improve and better ourselves. And this, brothers and sisters, it requires self-accountability. For us to proceed, to progress on the journey of self-improvement and bettering ourselves, we have to constantly engage in self-accountability. We have to take inventory of ourselves, of our strengths, of our weaknesses, of our areas that require growth and progress. Muhasabatun nafs. This is why our tradition emphasizes on the importance of self-accountability. It said that one day a young boy, he entered a local store, local grocery store. And he came in, he entered, he went straight to the desk where the cashier is. He took a little stool, he placed it so that he can stand on top and reach the table, the top of the table. On the top of the table there was a telephone. So he stood on there, he picked up the telephone, and he dialed the number, and he began to speak on the telephone. The shopkeeper, the shop owner, he noticed this young boy who came in, and he began to watch him to see what is this young boy doing. So the boy, he picked up the telephone, he dialed the number, and he began talking. He said, "Yes, ma'am, how are you? I hope you're doing well. I wanted to ask if you were interested in having me work for you in order to maintain your garden. I'd like to maintain and keep your garden." And he had it on speaker, conversation, the shopkeeper is listening. The lady on the other line, on the other end of the line, she told him, she said, "No, thank you for your offer, but I already have someone who takes care of my garden, mows my lawn and takes care of my garden." So the young boy, he replied, he said, "I'm ready to do this for half the price. The same work, I'm ready to do it for half the price." The woman, she said, "You know, that's a very generous offer, that's very kind, but I'm satisfied with the work that's being done, so I'm not interested." The young boy, he began to insist. He continued insisting. He told her, "You know what, not only will I do it for half the price, but I'll make sure that I also clean your driveway, I'll clean the street in front of your house, I will make your garden the most beautiful garden in the city." The woman, she chuckled over the phone. She told him, "You know, the offer that you're giving me is an excellent offer, but I have to respectfully decline because I'm happy with the service that I am being given." The young boy, he hung up the phone. He turned around. As he was about to leave the store, the shopkeeper, he was amazed at what just happened. So he stopped him. He told him, "Young man, I'd like to ask you a question. Said, I heard your conversation with this lady, and I'm so proud of your diligence. I'm so proud of your effort. I'm so proud that you're ready to make this great commitment and your work ethic. I'm so proud of you, and I'd like to offer you a job to work with me here in the store." So the young boy, he smiled. He politely told the man, he said, "You know what, I thank you for your very generous offer, but I already have a job. You see, I'm a gardener and I work for this lady. I just called her to check up and see how well I'm working." We have to be able to hold ourselves accountable, truthfully. We ask ourselves, muhasabatun nafs, ask ourselves, where are our areas of strength? Where are our areas of weakness? Where is it that we can grow? Which area do we need growth in? And we work on that growth. The holy month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, is a time for introspection, a time for self-accountability. It's a time for self-assessment, where we ask ourselves, we take inventory of ourselves. And we ask ourselves, where are the areas that I need to work on? The areas of my manners, my akhlaq, for instance. My areas of spirituality. Where are the areas that I need to work on improving? And the process and the journey of self-improvement is a step-by-step process, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes what ends up happening, and this has happened a number of times, many individuals, young men and women, they've approached me and they've been frank with me. They say, Sayyid, you know, I've lived my entire young age, I've lived away from prayers, away from the religion, from spirituality. I have not even recognized God. I've felt, you know, I've lived away from this entire life, but I feel that there is something empty and I'm ready to go ahead and to do the necessary things. But one problem is that when I try to do all of these things, when I try to pray and I fast and do this and wear hijab and do that, I become overwhelmed. So I leave it all. I can't. It's too much for me. When I think about all of the things that I need to do, all of the things that I need to change in my life, it's too much. So I become overwhelmed. And I usually tell them, I say the process for self-improvement is a step-by-step process. You can't just try to change yourself completely overnight. It doesn't happen. You have to be able to work towards immediate and slow progress, step-by-step progress. They say that there was a king who owned a very large empire, very large piece of land. And so one day this king, he decided that he wanted to travel. He wanted to see this land, this kingdom that he owned. So he decided to travel. He traveled for many weeks. And when he returned, his feet had become sore from traveling, because he had walked on this arduous path, many arduous paths, and so his feet has become bruised and sore. So when he came back, as a result, he was in a lot of pain. He came out with a major decree. He turned to his advisors, and he told his advisors, he said that I want for us to go out and to implement this decree, and that is that we will go to the entire kingdom and we will place on the ground of the entire kingdom, we will cover it with leather. So that when people travel, their feet don't get bruised. They can travel comfortably. The entire kingdom, we will cover it with leather. One of his advisors, wise man, he came to him and he whispered in the king's ear. He told him, Your Majesty, you know, I have a suggestion that might be a better suggestion. Said, what is it? Said, instead of covering the entire earth, the entire ground with leather, how about you take a small piece of leather and you place it under your foot so that wherever you go, you can walk comfortably. Sometimes we become passionate, we try to change ourselves and change the entire world overnight. We want to make the world a better place. But the smarter way to proceed, brothers and sisters, is with ourselves. We have to begin step by step. We have to begin with ourselves. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا Quran tells us. Protect yourselves. Protect your immediate family members. Work towards immediate progress. Not just long term. Yes, it's important. Long term is important. But we also have to focus on the short term, the immediate gains. And this is an important aspect of our journey to improve ourselves. And we have to remember, brothers and sisters, in the end, we have to remember that whatever we do in this life of ours, that we will reap what we sow. The amount of work that we place in improving ourselves and improving our societies, our communities, our neighborhoods, the amount of effort and work we will also reap that effort, the amount of effort and the hard work that we put in. And on the other hand, we will also reap any negative efforts. We reap what we sow. And this is what Allah tells us time and time, in the, time, and time again in the Quran, in Surah Al-Najm. Allah tells us, وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And the human being, man or woman, will not receive anything except according to what he or she has done. وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And every person will see his or her efforts and actions. Every person will reap their own efforts and what they sow. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. The return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our return to Allah, we take with us from this life, we take nothing, not our names, not our money, not our prestige, not our jobs, not our socioeconomic status, not our children. Nothing we take with us except what? Except our amal. Our good and our evil. But it's up to us to decide what we want to take with us to the hereafter. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to strengthen us, to allow us during what is remaining of these holy days and nights. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us during these holy days and nights. We pray to Allah the Almighty to give us the capacity to constantly improve ourselves. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to do those things which please Him and to avoid those things which displease Him. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our hearts and strengthen our minds with iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to do good for ourselves and for others around us. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our supplications, our prayers, and our fasting during these holy days and nights. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a full and speedy recovery to those who are sick, those who are ill, everyone who has asked us to pray for them from this community and from other communities. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away. Wa ila arwah al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat. Nuhdi jami'an thawab surat al-fatiha ma'as-salat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.